Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Blog Talk House. Assalamu alaikum. الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. That is all unqualified praise is due to Allah. And after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. الحمد لله الذي خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. All praise is due to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold. وَبَعَثَ نَبِيِّينَ مُبَاشِرِينَ وَمُنْزِرِينَ And commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ And I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that there is no object of worship except Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ His is the kingdom. وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ To Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ In His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ And He has power over all things. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ سَيِّدِينَ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ And we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his slave servant and his messenger. We pray, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala Sayyidina Muhammad. O Allah, send your prayers and your peace and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad wa ala alihi and upon his family wa sahbihi and upon his companions ajma'een, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, wa jumu'a mubarak, amma ba'd. A'uzu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alam nashrah laka sadarak wa wada'na anka wizrak alladhi anqadha dhahrak wa rafa'na laka dhikrak فَإِنَّمَا عَلَى عُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا عَلَى عُسْرِ يُسْرًا فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْسَبْ وَإِلَّا رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ صدق الله العظيم. Allah the Mighty has spoken the truth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Have we not expanded for you your breasts and removed the burden that did gall your back? And did we not raise high your esteem, the esteem in which you are held and remembered? Therefore, verily with difficulty is relief. Surely with difficulty is relief. And when you're free from your immediate task, still labor hard, and to your Lord is the ultimate destination. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prayers and peace be upon him, he once drew a triangle, and in the middle of that triangle he drew a line, and the length of it went outside of the triangle, and the outer end protruded beyond it, and across the middle of that triangle that is on the line that he drew on it, he drew cross-hatching lines. That is, there were lines on the line that was in the middle of the box that extended outside of the rectangle, I should say. He indicated that the figure represented man, that means the human being, and that the rectangle encircling that line was death, and the middle line stood for man's desires, and the short lines across that middle line were the trials and tribulations of life. He said, the Prophet, peace be upon him, if one of these lines misses him, he will fall victim for sure to one of the others. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that latter portion, it says, if one of these lines miss him, the trials and tribulations, there's one that's not going to miss him. And that's the rectangle itself, which represents death. Nobody gets past that particular line. Today we're going to continue with the subject of the woman. We just take a minute to reiterate for you, if you don't already grasp that. I want to reiterate for you that our mission, whose mission? The Muslim mission. Please. Our mission, let me go back. I see a couple of folks that used to wear the FOI uniform and familiar with it. What was our mission? To build a nation. That was the mission. And we were building them one child at a time. You know how that goes. That we had some big families that made up that aspect of it. But it was clear to everybody who was involved, we're building a nation, building a nation, building a nation. We use the word nation. In reality, the universal expression of it is ummah. And when we join the so-called Nation of Islam, we say, you're not just joining, you know, black people in America. You're joining the entire national, the entire worldwide community of Muslims. So when we became members of the Nation of Islam, we also felt and believed that we were becoming a part of the global community of Muslims. And on the masthead of the Muhammad Speaks for a very long time, you had the hand stretching over the globe from the American to the African, okay? The idea is our globalization. Okay, even though we use that term nation, but nation also translates into ummah. Yes, we all know by now that we didn't have all the particulars correct in terms of what Islam is and is not and blah, blah. Okay, well, we got that. Most of us got it straight. But in the context of al-Islam, when Allah says, "Wal taku minkum ummah," let there arise out of you an ummah, Muslims, please understand, that's your dying mission. If you're not working on that, you're not working on what Allah has ordered for you to work on. As soon as you said, "Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah," you became a part of Allah's, air quotes, army. You became a part of Allah's workers. And what's the job? Build ummah. Okay. You can't build ummah without Let's just stay with the letters. You can't build ummah without And what's Mother. And you can't have mother without a woman. All right? And you have to have the due regard for that feature, that, yeah, and I'm going to say creature. We're all creatures. And live and interact with her in accordance with what Allah's order is. And sisters, while most of my conversation will feel like it's focused on the brothers, you have to, which is another language from the Nation of Islam that we got. That's good language. It said, know yourself and be yourself. All right? Okay, my sister, you have to know yourself. And you have to be yourself as Allah has created you. But you can't be what Allah created you to be if you don't know who and what you are supposed to be and how you are supposed to be. You also cannot play your role in building ummah if that's the case. So we've already gone five parts. This is six parts. And I don't know where it ends. I never do. Allahu alam. But these are things that we have said. What I'm saying right now are things that we've already said about the woman. The woman is a God-given, God-written symbol. The woman. God created her, and as with all things, Allah put a message in everything that he created. There's a message in the sun. There's a message in the moon. There's a message in the water and the trees. And we've said all this throughout the earlier segments, but I'm just reiterating. Allah created the man as well. We are also a symbol. We also carry information just by our nature and our form. The unfortunate case of the world that we live in right now, this world has not, one level does know, and then also those who, quote unquote, have the enlightenment, but also don't have the desire for men and women to become what Allah created them to be naturally, because if men and women become naturally what they are supposed to be, there will be no ability for the pharaonic elite puppet masters of the world to do what they do, because men will be what Allah created them to be and the women will be what Allah created them to be, and we will be free from the machinations of the shaitans of this society. So it keeps us, the world that is, and all of its influences, it keeps us ignorant as to our reality as created by Allah. Because you become a problem when you know who you are from Allah. You become a problem. You become unmanageable. You become uncontrolled. But I'm not going to get into the revolutionary mode as anymore right now. But the idea is that both of us, men and women, we are special creations from Allah in relationship to all other creation. We both carry, that is males and females, we both carry information and natures which, when realized, will also realize and actualize the intention of God for the building of Ummah, a world culture that enables us to enjoy what is right, forbid what is wrong, etc., etc. Okay, but with the focus being on woman, woman is that. And the woman is an ayah to be read. The woman is, which is our focus today, and it is the beginning of this surah. I won't be going through the whole surah. That the woman is a walking embodiment of life and what life is in its nature and how it should be responded to. I read it again, and I want you to listen. Understand this also about khutbah. That the term khutbah, it actually translates into the kind of speech that you get at a conference. See, it's not sermon in the way that we understand sermons when you go to other religious gatherings. Okay, well, the preacher's going to preach a sermon. No, khutbah is connected with prescription and conference-level conversation. So that's why sometimes I try, might not seem like it, but sometimes I try to contain my emotions, because I can get carried away, and sometimes you can drown out the rational, the intellectual of it, and the capacity to receive that much if you get too focused on that emotional energy. So the point is that the woman is a walking embodiment of life. And a part of her message is that she is carrying, by her nature and by the natural impact of – I just need to make sure. I don't see the red light on this camera. I don't know if that means that the camera is or is not out. I'm going to stay in my lane, but I need to say that. So. So just in case it's not recording, and we're good. Give me a thumbs up if we're recording. All right, good. Thank you. All right. So life, my daughter, I said, what's going on? How you doing? Yeah. Well, you know, just living life, you know, and life be life, right? So I hope you can understand what that means, because I get it. Is that life be lifing, right? There's a short bumper sticker way that starts with a four-letter word that tell you blank happens, right? So that's kind of like life be lifing, right? But the woman, by her nature, models for us how you're supposed to live. And sister, let me say this. This Surah 94, is talking about difficulty and relief. And the women, which most of us as men don't understand, and we don't grasp it as much as we're going to need to in order to grow more, women suffer a lot. Women face a lot of difficulty. Different ones of them, they carry it differently. Going beyond the childbearing side of it, just the idea of what the demands of life put on the female, and then when you throw into that mix how men fail in so many instances to do what they're supposed to do to take some of that burden off of her, which was the design of Allah for natural men, al-rijala qawwamuna ala nisa. Men are supposed to be the main, not supposed, that's what, not what God said. God didn't say he's supposed to, no. God says men are the maintainers, the providers, the protectors, the ones who set women up. That's God's rule in the Quran. Men do that. When you're not doing that, you have no receipt for your manhood. Do I need to repeat that? If you don't have that, you have no receipt for your manhood. It ain't about your physique. It ain't about your mustache, your beard. It ain't about your bank account. It ain't about your gift of gab, whatever that might be. It's about, step aside, where's the woman that can depend on you? Let her talk. Don't say nothing. Turn around. Don't even look at her. You know, sometimes you better say the right thing. No. We put in witness protection, but let's move on. You know, I got to do say something humorous before it's over. Interesting statistic. There are about 7 million, yeah, the statistics are about 7 million men between the ages of 18 and 54 unemployed. Might not seem like a lot, that's a lot. Unemployed. And there are about the jobs available, employment possibility. In fact, let me stop trying to dig through this and go to another place here. I want to read this because it's... I want to get it right. That's why I'm doing this. All right, well, it's going to take more than I expected. Here's what it's saying. The reporter was saying that we're in trouble because we have millions of jobs available, millions of men 18 to 54 unemployed who are not even looking for employment. So the employment is there, and the matching... The ones who could actually ostensibly occupy those people, they're not even looking for employment. And the person is saying, we're in trouble. Talking about who? The country, which is a female. That's a woman. You know, the country is a woman, right? In history, they had what you call the Children's Crusade. And it sort of relates to the Pied Piper of Hamelin, right? Go back and look at the fairy tale story. They didn't have anything for the young men to do, and that's what made them dangerous in the European countries at the time. It's dangerous to have virile, you understand, V-I-R-I-L-E, not viral like in social media. It's dangerous to have that healthy energy unoccupied in industry and work. It's a lot of dangerous male testosterone with nothing to do. And it has to act out what it is. It's the desire, aggressiveness, hostility. The female is something that they're hungry for. But then if you don't have the wherewithal to legitimately come into the embrace, I'll say, of the female, then such men will force themselves on the female because they don't have the qualifications to legitimately earn that intimacy. So the point is, in our economy, you have an economy with a lot of empty spaces, and those that should be and could be in those spaces say, I ain't even trying to get with that. Okay, so what are you doing? You're dangerous in the economy. All right, but here's the reason I felt the need to really emphasize this point. I can't go anywhere in this country having the label of, you know, the guru of sorts for male-female relationships, marriage, et cetera, et cetera. Brother Imam, I need a husband. Brother Imam, where the brothers at? Brother Imam, whoa, whoa, whoa. So look at that employment piece, and then imagine that you have hundreds of thousands of women. I'm talking about our circles. You have hundreds of thousands of women who are ready, willing, and interested in being married. And then you also have hundreds of thousands of men on the other side. Oh, I ain't even trying to get married. I got time. I do wah, wah, wah. You're dangerous. I mean, I'm saying, maybe you don't mean to be. But you're dangerous. To yourself and to the society. Because what are you doing with your testosterone? Something's going on. We're not monks. I know you wish I'd get away from this for a minute, but you need this. It's like a good shower. So what's the situation of a population that has marriageable men and marriageable women, and the men, man, I ain't trying to get married right now. Just think on that and do something about it. So, when we understand how our failure to live in alignment with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered for us as men and as women, then what we don't see in consequence of that failure is what we're supposed to be and are, no doubt, longing for. Oh, I want the ummah, I want the community to have businesses. I want the community to have schools. I want the community to have their own culture. I want the community to have their own entertainment centers. I want to get... You can't do that without marriage and family. It's not an isolation. It comes in consequence of trying to fulfill the needs of the marriage and the household and the children that come from the marriage and the household. It's like, I got to take care of my children. I got to take care of my family. I have to protect my children. I have to protect my family. I have to provide the pathway for them to move from being young to being able to be self-sustaining and be able to project their own good future. I can't depend on the existing institutions to make sure that that happens. We should know by now. Public school ain't trying to make your children what you want them to be. The business world ain't trying to make sure you got money. They're trying to cut out as much as they can. And when you get to AI, I know I'm going a little distance, but when you get to that artificial intelligence, et cetera, it's like you thought robotics took you out when the factory system came on. AI about to take out doctors, lawyers, engineers, so many other brain workers, surgeons even. You're having more and more systems that do those things that used to be the high level how can you say, possibilities for people who go and get those advanced degrees, but the advancement of man's intelligence itself is undermining those things that are body dependent. They're getting more and more things. Even actors, they're creating actors online. You can't tell whether this is the real dude or the real woman or what have you, and they're doing all the acting. A robot. A bot. Right? Okay, you got to ask yourself, as this flows, and I conclude this portion, as this goes on, where does that put you? Where does it put you? Okay, if everything goes with, where does that put you? It's like a fire. You see the fire coming. Which track is it? A tornado. You see the tornado coming. Where's your house? Is your house in line of the fire? Is your house in line of the tornado? Is your wherewithal, your sustainability, your capacity to help yourself and your family, is it being undermined by what's coming? You see, and the best way that we're going to be able to protect ourselves is to unite and make the best use of the available resources and our talent as a whole and aim it at what Allah has ordered for us. If we build what Allah has ordered for us, we're going to be protected. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين اللهم آمين الله أكبر بسم الله Let's see if we can just take a couple of steps further in this. The meanings of the Quranic Arabic words in this surah, sometimes titled Al-Inshara or Al-Shahr, the meanings in the Arabic words reveal an outline how we should understand and respond to the nature of life's circumstances. This means, and these meanings, can be derived from processes that are happening in the life of the woman, particularly derived from labor and delivery. When we focus on the purpose and the effects of the biochemicals involved in the labor and delivery process, bi-iznillah. Now I say it without reading. When we read the verses of the Quran, we are reading what's called ayahs. The Quran is made of ayahs. When Allah tells us about the aspects of creation, they are also called ayahs. In everything that Allah has created in the natural creation is an ayah, is a message, is information. Learning how to read that information and apply that information to your everyday life is how you make the progress that Al-Islam promises. I really, really hope you hear that. I wish I could, maybe I don't. I wish I could get in everybody's head and figure out, did you hear that? No, some people hear. I don't want to be in your head. It's all good. Look, when you read that, God has sent a message in that creation, said, okay, here's a sign of what you should do under these circumstances. If you read that from God, if Allah blesses you to understand what he said, and then you do what that guidance tells you to do, then God's promise that your life is going to get better happens. It happens. It happens. And so
Mashallah, you got look at your life. Is your life at this moment, all of us have goals, should have goals and aspirations where it's like, yes, where I'm at is not where I want to stop. I need to go a little bit further, blah, blah, blah. So we all have places that we want to go. But if there's a level of dissatisfaction and a level of, how can you say, doubt, regret, uncertainty, et cetera, in your life right now, it could very well have to do with you're not sure about how you're going to get to where you want to go, what you need to do to solve your immediate problems. If you have this uncertainty, if you have this lack of clarity, if you have this confusion, if you have this doubt, then you are at a standstill psychically. You're at a situation where it's like you're sitting in that most comfortable chair in your house with your head in your hands, and you're trying to, what am I going to do? I pray for you if you're in that situation, that you come out of that situation, and I'm praying also, if you don't want to get into that situation, you need to find out, am I doing with my life what God is telling me to do? And it's more than just making salah. It's more than just making prayer. You need to know how you're supposed to interact with your husband, with your wife, with your children, with institutions, with everything. And Allah provides guidance for that. Right? But you have to read that. Okay, so as it relates to those ayahs and as it relates to what we're saying, particularly about the woman, the woman's life, which we're not going to cover, I'll make maybe a point or two. Let's just deal with the title of the chapter. That should be sufficient for now. Thank you for your patience. Okay, Surah 94, right? The Quran that is known as Ashar, some translated as the relief, some translated as the expansion, some translated as the opening forth. What it discusses are themes of easing of one's burden, the expansion of the heart, and the pairing of hardship and relief. That's what that surah is about. Why is that important? God says he has created us into toil and struggle. We shouldn't be surprised when we have difficulty. We should not be surprised. Because Allah didn't say everything's going to be fine. You know that old record. It said, I beg your pardon, I never promised you a rose garden. That could be God telling you, I never promised you a rose garden. There's some difficulty. It's coming. I told you. He said you're going to be painfully toiling on. This is God. I made it a secret. But innama al-usri yusr. With the difficulty is the relief. If you stop paying so much attention to the pain and the difficulty and you look into it with my guidance, Allah, look into it with my guidance, you will find the relief is right there in the difficulty, but you focused on the difficulty and not focused on my promise that with the difficulty is relief. Allahu Akbar. And so I'm saying we have to, that has to become the script of our life. That has to become script. Okay, inshallah. So inshallah, it actually means joy. That's the title of the surah. Inshallah, right? When they take that title. Joy, relaxation, delight, glee. The root sharaha also carries the meaning to please, to comfort, and to relieve. Mashraha, these words are all from that root. Mashraha is the operating room. You know, like in a hospital. Mashraha, the operating room. And then ilmu tashrih is the science of anatomy. Now here's a critical connection for the woman. In classical Arabic, shurayhun And mashrahun is the proper name for the female genitalia. See, you have to read. The female genitalia has been labeled with the same root, the word from the same root that the surah is from. Do you think that's an accident? Of course, you should not. Allah means for us, but if you don't read past the surface or past a translation, you never get down to the bayan. Bayan has to do with defining the foundation of a thing. Let's get to the bottom of this. You heard that language? Let's get to the bottom of this. Well, here's the surah is showing you at the bottom of this is a sign of the female and a critical sign of the female. The symbol of the female genitalia. So what's happening with regard to the female genitalia is one of the readings that we will be extracting, not today, from it. Because what's going on in the labor and delivery process is how we need to read our life. And though I'm tempted, I won't say much more about it, but I will say this. Those of you who get with us on the Saturday morning broadcast, if Blog Talk holds up, inshallah, what we're going to talk about, this is Saturday morning, 8 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio. The Quran, the cave, and the menses. Because it goes before you get to the pregnancy, you have the menses cycle. And God tells us also, it says, stay away from the women on their menses. They are hurt and a pollution. I'll be correcting the misconceptions that have been foisted upon women in that with Quran, with Hadith, et cetera, et cetera. But I want to connect you. It's too much for this, even like right now. It's too much for the Jumu'ah situation right now. But the Quran itself, the revelation of the Quran from Jibreel to Muhammad, that is, Jibreel carried the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to Muhammad, you can find that in the reproductive system of the female. The very name for menses is rooted in the same word that gives us Quran. The same base stems that give us Quran gives us the woman's cycle. Kuru'un. I don't want to leave you hanging on that. Kuru'un. So there must be a relationship to the Quran and the woman's cycle. Inshallah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. La ta'akhudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. Lahu ma fi as-samawati wa ma fi al-ard. Man dha alladhi yashfa'u 'indahu illa bi'idhnihi. يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض ولا يعوده حفظهما وهو العلي العظيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم أنت ربي لا إله إلا أنت خلقتني وأنا عبدك وأنا أهلك وعدك ما استطعت أعوذ بك من شر ما صنعت أبو لك بنعماتك علي وأبو لك بذنبي فاغفر لي إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ولا give us mates and give us offspring that will be beautiful in our eyes And give us the grace to be examples for righteous people. Amin. Allahumma amin. Wa akum as-salam.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. I met you.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. It seems like Blog Talk wants to cooperate this morning. So alhamdulillah, so we have the audio portion. Remember, all the protocols still apply in terms of how you engage us on this platform on this morning. But alhamdulillah, we've been away for a few days, some parts because of the technology and other parts because of travel. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah. We've been moving around a bit and feels good. And also, I look forward to following through on what we were speaking of yesterday, which we just heard yesterday's recording of Juma Live from Masjid Al-Rahim in Oakland, California, part 6 of The Woman. So we just go as long as it goes or how it goes, and that's how it goes. But for now, to proceed, we need to hear from you. Come on, push one on your phone, come on through, make your comments, have your input, respect the protocols, and we'll all be benefited by your insight. I'm taking a sip of my coffee while I wait for some of y'all to check in. Nobody's got anything to say this morning? Oh, all right. All right, good. Y'all checking in. That's great. Let's hear from our brother Mark. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Imam Fahim Shuaib, and to your very astute radio listening audience. Mark Shaheed from the STL, which I'm down here in Orlando, Florida, for a few days. Family and friends and all, and I do concur with you. I want to say alhamdulillah first and foremost, that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, always. And it seemed like it's been a lot longer in Blog Talk. It's, you know, we've been experiencing the same thing. And I did tune in late because, you know, who was that? Was it Rodney Dangerfield? I think it said that any and everything that could go wrong, that did go wrong. Didn't get much sleep in terms of traveling. Didn't get to bed till 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So I was a little late tuning in, but what I heard today in your cookbook, it was excellent, Brother Imam. Very, very insightful, very substantive information in looking at the woman and seeing the woman as an embodiment of information, as we all know. The Tafsir Imam Muhammad, that the whole of creation is a body of knowledge, including the human being. And it's excellent when you can take the Quran as a foundation for that, as he said, the little book, and point to the big book, which is the natural creation. You know, I was looking at in terms of the information. And even in looking at that word as information, we see that it is to inform us, but it is to keep the original formation that Allah created, both for the man and for the woman, very, very important. Another thing that you highlighted in terms of ayah is not only a verse, but also a sign, but even more to give detail to that as an instructing sign. So when we see ayah as an instructing sign, it gives structure to the life. The guidance that Allah has put in revelation for all the important and significant aspects of our life, and most certainly the aspect of the sacred institution of marriage, in how it is that we have to and should be relating to each other, and also the sacred institution of family life, which gets us to Uma. As you so eloquently articulated, there's a natural progression there to establish what it is that Allah has willed for the human being to get to and how that is supposed to look. But with those cornerstones, understanding that to give the type of structure to the life is vitally important. I could say more, but I know I probably got to my 3 minutes there, and I'll just stop there. But there's so much, to be said there, and of course, what you ended with, it's almost like you want to tune in next week to see that relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, yeah, Allah bless you to be able to see him as a scientist, the scientist. Okay. I'll stop. Buddy, ma'am, I always enjoy the cook buzz and also always look forward to Saturday in terms of going more in depth. But this is a I always try to remain studious of the Quran, the Tafsir, Imam Muhammad, and students such as yourself. Alhamdulillah.
Shukran.
Thank you. I continue to increase all of us in knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God's word, will, and way. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum. As-salamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Always appreciated. 727. This sounds like a Florida address, zip code. Who we got? 727.
Long-time listener, long-time and follower, Martha Nyla Abdullah. Assalamu alaikum.
Martha Nyla, how you doing? Good.
I am so wonderful, so thankful. And you know, Imam, I'll address this first. I was checking because usually I'm on from 11 to 1 with William Kareem doing Cultural Insights for CWSC.
Okay.
And as we're going to be...
When you come to again, too.
Alhamdulillah, and as you know yourself, that we're working on a way to connect our mediums and not take over what is being shared, but find a way to continue to address it to the audiences that we, that when you mention the word unite, and that's the way, that's what we're working on, so that we'll have that united front, so no one will feel like they're out on an island without information from the Muslim community that we're connected with.
Absolutely.
So, alhamdulillah, I want everyone to know. And I hope you hear me okay, because sometimes I'm in a building, but that may be. Let me go on.
You're crystal clear. Yeah.
Oh, okay, very good. And glad to hear that Mark's in Orlando, Florida. Welcome, Mark, to the Sunshine City, Sunshine State, rather, Sunshine City, Orlando. But to all the audiences, thank you, Imam. And I did check in late, but I'll go back and listen in. But I can't wait to hear the, because I was, too, looking into the study of the Quran with the Quran, the reference of the flow, and Quran reading with the flowing as well. So, inshallah, looking forward to that. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Make dua for us. And it was good seeing you in Newark, alhamdulillah, after I don't know how many years, but alhamdulillah.
No. Take us back to that coffee time.
Yeah. Let me state for you and for the public. I was mentioning yesterday there's a brother who just came into Oakland and established a halal barbecue operation, a halal barbecue, you know. And I mean, you know, come on now, halal barbecue. And so
you know.
I was talking to a brother who is a vendor who does bean pies, and so his bean pies are now in this brother's shop, and he's getting the potato salad from this brother's wife, and then and it's a mainline serve the public kind of operation, right? And so I reminded him as we spoke that we used to and we still do try to emphasize Muslims, we need to be need to be in business, right? One of the things, one reason you need to be in the business, then you can make prayer at the time you want. You can come to Jumu'ah, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to get permission for this, that, and the other. Just that part of it is a big deal. But the, also, we don't only need to be in business. We need to have an economy. And the way you have an economy is to network your businesses. So once you have the businesses, now those businesses have to connect to each other so you can have this vertical and horizontal, right, interlacing, right? So then the dollar will circulate so many times before it goes out of the community. Everybody knows about that, but we got to do that. And the same way with the minds, right, and with the knowledge, right? There's what you call cognitive distribution. It's sort of like a mental network, right? The myth, we already have cognitive distribution in terms of human beings because we use the same language, and so because we're networked through our language, so I can talk to you, you can talk to me, blah, blah, blah. Well, in the same way, when we talk about our particular type of knowledge and our particular ideas, et cetera, those who have those like ideas and like minds, they have to be networked. And when we network ourselves and when the people who we're associated with plug into that network, that we get the amplification of the minds of everybody in the network, right? So we have to do what you're saying and what the CWSC is working to do. Alhamdulillah. So I'm doing it. It's just Blog Talk was not working. Blog Talk keep messing up, and I'm going to flip the script. And that's another thing. You know, we need to have also other resources and other ways to pivot if we need to. When the system that we depend on that we don't control ourselves doesn't serve us. Okay, well, where's your own system? So we have to keep that in mind. I just want to endorse the position in terms of that. You know, Sister Hamim, she has reached out on a couple of occasions, and we tried, but we kept missing each other, but also missing the function of the Blog Talk. It didn't make it easier, and then travel and right. But I'm saying all of that to say I'm with you. Let's go. All right.
Yes, sir. And two, if I may, not drop the mic, but add to the 50-year human family strategic planning of initiatives. CWSC is circling the 48 states, excluding right now Hawaii and Alaska, but for intentional going around and checking, asking specifically the outreach component of the immediate masajis, the imams, and as well as what's the radius of the operation of that outreach so that we can get a more congruent thinking, like you're saying, to connect.
Mm-hmm.
So inshallah, we'll keep everyone posted and involved, inshallah. Thank you so much,
right,
ma'am.
Thank
As-salamu
you.
Alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, let's get on with the content that we had alluded to at the end of the broadcast and effectively promised, actually. So I'm going to be away from the and I will have to say, those of you on Blog Talk, if you can get over to Imam Fahim Shuaib, if you can get over to either Facebook or the YouTube, there are a couple of things that I want to show. A couple of little shorts, you know, those YouTube shorts. I want to show a couple of them before it's over. But in the meantime, what I'm going to be doing, just sharing my notes. Now, mashallah, this is no boast. What I'll be speaking to today, the notes that I'm using while I greet those who are joining us on the other platforms, greetings to you all, and thank you for your presence as well. I made this presentation with that. That means it was formalized in 2008. So it's like this is 15 years ago. Okay, it's no boast. The thing that I'm trying to emphasize by giving you that date and time, even my information that I share is grounded in grasping something that Imam Muhammad had told us, let's call it even 10 years before that, right? So it's like, come on, it's like just that number on one concept, we're talking 25 years,
25 years, right? It's no both. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about what's been in front of us and how long it's been in front of us and how much we don't yet take advantage of that inheritance. And I'm going to stop these few minutes because that's more time being taken away from it. But take that statement as a public service announcement. It's like you've got to get into the language of Imam W.D. Mahal. Yes, you got to learn the Quran. And a part of what I say today, but and that kind of goes without saying, but yeah, you're going to get the details of why. Because there are many who know before and knew before Imam W.D. Mahal, the technology of the Arabic and the history and, you know, philology and all of the, you know, the history of the words and all of that, but they still couldn't bring the insight. They couldn't energize, motivate, and not just from this visceral point of view, but from an intellectual, from a rational, from a cognitive perspective, the way Imam Muhammad, he gives us an idea, and that idea explodes in our heads and our hearts and in our souls like a bomb, right? It's like boom, right? Those ideas. Let's move on. Let's move on. What I want to get to, I'm just going to share the notes and just walk through the notes. You know, it is what it is. We'll cover as much as we can cover. After that, there's not much I can do. Okay, let's go with this. Share screen. And all right. So these are the notes that I'll speak from right now. Bismillah. Here's a statement. I don't remember the scholar that I recorded it from. Like I tell you, these notes, some of them are from 15 years ago. But the scholar writes, it isn't that we lack information. The obstacle is that we don't have the proper tools to interpret the significance of our data. I'll read it again. Blog Talk, I recommend that you multitask. You can have one window if you're on a computer with Blog Talk. You know, open up another window, find Imam Fahim Show at Facebook or YouTube Live so you can see these notes. Because even while I'm not reading certain notes, you can either read ahead or reinforce some of your reading so as to keep up with the understanding, inshallah. All right, so the scholar writes, it isn't that we lack information. Right? Have you ever seen a QR code? A QR code, that little fuzzy black and white dotty square kind of thing. You hold your phone up to it with the app open, and boom, it brings up the website, brings up the menu, bring up whatever it is. But when you just look at the thing itself, all you see is just black and white. You know, like the snow on the old televisions, right? Well, that's there's actual information in there. But if you don't know how to read the information, it's right in front of your face. But if you don't have the technology that enables you to read the code that's embedded in those patterns, then you don't get it. Well, that's how it is with the nature of creation. We're looking at the nature of creation. Let's just make it for this analogy. Nation is a giant QR code. The universe is a giant QR code. It's a mix of signal and noise, and if you don't know how to separate the signal from the noise, signal is the information. The noise is everything all confounded, everything all there together, the pattern not abstracted or what have you. If you don't know how to separate signal from noise, you don't get the information, right? What forms you on the inside? Okay, so that's what forms you on the inside, information, right? The obstacle, the scholar says, the obstacle is that we don't have the proper tools to interpret the significance of our data. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, one of the things he told us, you know, he told the public, but he said it to a group of imams in training with him. First, he said when he came with new tools. He came with tools that hadn't been used before, hadn't been seen before, and he put those tools to work to bring about the transformation and what we call the transition of the Nation of Islam to the path of Sirat al-Mustaqim, inshallah, getting closer and closer to it. So if you don't have the tools, then you won't be able to see the significance of your data, right? So you have the Quran. The Quran is data. You know, a recent post from my Instagram but it says that the Quran is universal law in a book. The Quran is the laws of the universe in a book. That is true. The Quran is the law book of the universe. Don't think about law in terms of social law, positive law, don't fornicate, don't take intoxicants, blah, blah, blah. No. We're talking about how things operate in the nature of creation. But all that is data. But if you can't interpret the significance of the data, it's still noise. You got the whole universe full of all the information. But if you don't have the right tools, then it's all noise. I'm saying Imam Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi has given us tools, and there are two that will be highlighted here today. And that's just two, right? Just two of them. That enable us to, again, go in, look at the data. In this case, we're talking about the woman and the woman's reproductive system and the operation of the woman's an aspect of the operation of the woman's reproductive system. Inshallah, Jumu'ah will continue as to what's going on with labor and delivery and the like. This is all information. This is all data. And with the right tools, we can abstract with the bi'iznillah. We say bi'iznillah. وَلَا يُحِطُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ اللَّهِ. So it's inshallah, we say. It's saying, and they cannot encompass anything except as Allah pleases, right? So with Allah's pleasure, with Allah's grace, we can abstract the significance of the data that we're seeing. So moving on. So now we talk about the menstrual cycle, the woman's menstrual cycle. This is one of those data points, right? Well, what's the significance of the data point of the woman's cycle, right? Again, you go in using the tools that have been said, approach it this way, right? One of them is, okay, what is the menstrual cycle? And yes, there are other words for the menstrual cycle. I don't have them here. I believe one of them is hayd. And so just like for heart, you know, for heart, there are many different words that get translated as heart, right? Similar for other non-Arabic words. Sometimes one Arabic word is, or rather different Arabic words are translated into one word in English, right? Which means you get deprived of the information in the other Arabic words because all those different Arabic words in the Quran, say, for example, all those different words in the Quran are translated in, let's call it Yusuf Ali, for example. He translated all the, whether it says sudur or whether it said afida or whether it said qalb, then every heart, right? But in the Arabic, you got three different words that appear in the verses. But since the translator decided, okay, we're not going to spend a lot of time trying to figure that out, it is okay that this be heart. And, hey, if they really want to get the rest of it, then they need to learn the Arabic. But right now, we're just trying to help those who don't know the Arabic to get them close to the meaning. Right? Okay, so take that also as it relates to the woman's cycle. But now we get, you know, we get a signal. You can see sign in the signal, right? You can also see sign in significance, right? So and Imam Mikhail Shabazz, I always have to give due regard, because when I heard it from him first, Imam, out of Portland. I heard it from him first. He said he was introducing me at a banquet I had been invited to, and one of the words in my subject title was significance. And he said, what, you know, significance means sign if I can see. Sign if I can see. And you can break that word up, sign, right? Let me go ahead and do it since if you happen to be watching. Sign if I can see. Sign if I can see. So there you go. It's like if you want to get the significance of something, well, it's a sign if you can see it. It's a sign if you can see it. So inshallah, if you're given the right lens, which is the tool, one of the tools is how to look at something. It's that when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, right? So here, the point to be made here if someone has told you that if someone says this to you, then it's knowledge. If someone says that to you, then that's not knowledge. Well, when you subscribe to that, I didn't give any specific examples. I'm just talking about a mindset. When they give you that, those become the glasses that you put on and look at the world, right? So if the right eye, the right lens is blue and the left lens is whatever, red. I was trying to avoid the 3D reference, but if the right eye is blue and the left lens is red, then everything is going to be affected by the nature of those lenses, right? So, but if they have given you a way of looking at the world that's wrong or that's limited, let's say, you know, a lot of the lens has been blacked out, so you have a very small aperture on each one of the lens, so you're only seeing a very small a slice of the world because of the way that the lens has been structured. Listen, brother and sister, you have to keep your notebooks with me if you want to hold the knowledge and go on with it. Epistemology. The epistemology is how the individual or how the person defines what is knowledge. Okay? Somebody can give you an epistemology that says, don't look over here because that's not knowledge, right? Now, it may be that there may be an epistemology, and it is correct for them to tell you don't look over there because it's not knowledge. But you also have the potential for them telling you don't look over there because it's not knowledge, when in actuality that is knowledge over there, but because they have a vested interest in you looking to the left, then they have to have a teaching that tells you don't look to the right, because if you look to the right, then you'll stop looking to the left, and then that takes me out of my, how can you say, throne. You take me off my throne, philosopher. All right. So this, when we look at the menstrual cycle and everything that we're saying, is that we have a lens that says, okay, this sounds like this. This comes from that root. And so there must be a relationship between these two, right? Now, there may be in somebody's system of knowledge that, no, that don't relate to that. Okay, fine. But Allah doesn't make any mistakes, right? And so the menstrual cycle, the term for the woman's cycle is Quru'un. Quru'un. So those of you who have the dictionary of the Quran, I believe it's Alama Nuruddin. Different dictionaries have different entries. Like you have Lane's Lexicon, you have Hans Weir, you have so many others. This is in the Arabic language, and it is in the dictionary of the Quran, and you find it on page 448 and 449. It bridges over columns. And so you can find it there. If I had time, I would have did a Photoshop of that page and put it up here for you on the screen. But you can find it if you have it. That's it. And it's not, even though I'm spending this kind of time on it, I'm only spending this time because most of us who are studying the religion, who are new to Al-Islam, there's a natural, and that's mashallah, it's an innocent. And in so many ways, it's an infant, and it's necessary, it's useful, it's good to an extent that, you know, there are certain people, let's just say, and certain sounds that you hear coming out of certain people's mouths that tend to give us, the new ones tend to give us confidence in, well, he looked more like, or even she looked more like she know, because that's just closer to their language and so therefore we have a tendency to doubt those who don't have the right accent. For lost a better term, I just got to tell you, we tend to doubt those who don't have the right accent, and not even talking about skin color, but, you know, it is what it is. So sometimes my conversation, like the moments I just took, it just becomes necessary because I have to acknowledge that shortcoming on our part and that vulnerability on our part as new people and reverts to Al-Islam, that we tend to think automatically there's a joke in the Bilalian community, Bilalian people of African descent living in the Western Hemisphere, where it says, you know, black man keeps going past that, going back to black man's ice house. You know, we used to have ice boxes, right? He keeps going past the black man's ice house, so it go and get the white man's ice, right? And then one day, you know, the Bilalians, he just got tired and said, come on, man, you keep going out there to get ice. I got ice right here. And he said, why you go to him when I got the ice right here? He said, the white man's ice is colder. The white man's ice is colder. So sometimes, you know, we think other folks take on something is not as good as someone who is a rebirth. But, mashallah, trust me, I'm not mad about it. I'm trying to save those who are victims to that mindset, because you're not getting your inheritance. And let me stop talking about that so I can share a little more of your inheritance with that. Because if you're on this line, you're here to get some of your inheritance. And Imam Muhammad Warithuddin, the inheritor of the deen, he has left us an unlocked chest of treasure. He gave the key. He unlocked it. He opened it up. Now it's up to us to go up in there and get the value that he opened up to us. And what is the chest? It's the Quran. It's al-Islam. It's the creation. Moving on. Okay, so Qur'un and the word Quran, they're from the same root, all right? Since the term for a woman's cycle and the word Quran are from the same root, we can safely say that the Quran has something to do with the woman's cycle, okay? What did I just do? And what does that sentence do? That is what is called reasoning. That is called reasoning. I'm not being patronizing. It's just like, look, I had to learn. I'm talking about this is within the last 5 years, all right? And I'm 72. I'm saying within the last 5 years, it became known of a specific definition of what is reasoning, right? By definition, reasoning is inference making. Reasoning is inference making. What is inference making? Talking about data, right? To be able to interpret the significance of your data, you have to say, this is A and this is B. A sounds like B, therefore C. That's reasoning. Data point A, data point B. What do data point B and A mean when you put them together? They mean C, right? That is reasoning. Reasoning is inference making. You take one point and then you relate it to another point and you see what comes out of that relationship. That is reasoning. All right. So when you say scriptural reasoning, see, this particular moment right here, this is not scriptural reasoning. That was just logic because of the nature, the definition of the cycle and the terminology for Quran, that's it. So I haven't even talked about the scripture in relation. I just talked about the logic of the words, right? So that's just reasoning, or that's just logic. But now, if I took a verse from the Quran and a verse from just go ahead and do it. It's like the Quran 13:31. Just work with me. Quran 13:31. When it's the verse where it says, if there was a reading, when you read that, it says Quranan, right? Quranan. If there was a Quran that would move mountains, this would be the one, right? And so that tells us that Quran means a reading. That's what Quran means, a reading. That's what the Quran is, a reading. All right, I'm going to go further right now. 1331. Now, Matthew 1331 has in it, probably you might have to have 3132 because I don't have the scripted out right now. But either way, you can look it up. 1331. A, there's automatically a relationship. Now, here you have the Quran saying the 13th chapter and the 31st verse, and then you have Matthew 1331. And I should tell you also, Matthew means Mathajah. It means the gift of God. But the point to be made here is it's talking about a mustard seed. It said if you have the faith, as the grain of a mustard seed. You, this is Jesus, this put in the mouth of Jesus, let's just say, in the New Testament, said, if you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you would be able to say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move, right? So scriptural reasoning, which I'm not going to do that right now, you do that. If you're interested in taking that further and fleshing that out, do that. If you want to hit me with, okay, this is what I come up with, man, blah, 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 go ahead, hit me, sabililah@aol.com, and I will reply to you. But the point is, here you have a relationship between something that Allah said in the Quran, same numbers, matching up with the same numbers in Matthew, and it's talking about moving mountains, right? So I'll help you just a little bit. So it has something to do with faith. Faith. And the power of faith to move mountains, and the Quran being that power. I'm not gonna say anymore. I keep telling myself. I'm talking to myself, saying, "Shut up. Go back to the other thing you're doing." So, let's move on. I have fun. I'm sorry. Sometimes I can be a distraction, but just take a breath and just say, "Okay, you know that's Fahim. That's how he is. Just hold up." Even with the imam, those of us who would study the imam and his lecture, so you have to learn how to listen to the imam. His lecture could be 2 hours and more in some cases, and he'll say something, but then he'll give you a long parenthetical commentary, right? But you have to be able to know that, okay, this is just a parenthetical commentary to what he was saying when he stopped and went into that parenthetical commentary. He's going to come back to this point at some point in time. All I have to do is just take in what he's saying parenthetically and then be ready when he makes the connection back to what he started, and now you're still following. All right. I'm just telling you. So that's the way. So if you're listening to Imam Muhammad's lectures, you should take that and understand that, you know, everything that he's saying is not explicitly the particular lesson that he has in writing to give, but there are things that are critical for understanding it. It depends on the level that he's trying to, that he's speaking to, because of some people that's on a level, it's like, no, let me give them a little bit before I go back to this other basic thing. All right, Allahu Alam. So the point here is that scriptural reasoning, see, that scripture reasoning, 1331, If it's 1331, I see that's a palindrome. I could do a lot with that. So these are tools that we look at. Okay, why is this number reads the same way backwards and forward? And then when I find a chapter 1331 in the Bible, it's the same palindrome reading same way backward and forward. Okay, now let's look at the content that's in this verse, 1331, and let's look at the content that's in this verse, 1331, and see if there's some kind of relationship. Listen, brother and sister, what is an analogy? You should carry you should bring a notebook when you come. What is an analogy? An analogy is something that bridges between one idea and the other. Analogy. Bridges between one idea and when you understand the analogy between this one and that one, then you have built an analogical bridge. You have built a bridge. There's meaning in this one and there's meaning in that one. Now I need the analogy that connects the both of them. And I'm going to say it, not again, but it wasn't said today, but I've said it many times before. Interpret. Interpret, it means to make a connection between. That's what it means. It means make a connection between. All right. So you make that analogy. And I'm saying all that to for us to understand that scriptural reasoning. That's scriptural reasoning, making inferences based on scripture, right? The Quranic verse can be the A in my analogy, and the biblical verse can be B in my analogy. And in what they say together leading to C, I have reasoned with the scripture to come to a conclusion, right? So that's scriptural reasoning, right? Another methodology, a label for a methodology from the imam is what I just gave you. Scriptural-supported social logic. Scriptural-supported social logic. And what we're going to be continuing on is the idea of creation-supported social logic. So that means inference-making or reasoning based on either the scripture or based on some phenomena in creation, right? And so what we're doing today is actually creation-supported social logic. Creation-supported social logic. What are you doing? You're looking at a phenomena in creation, in this case right now, the woman's menses, okay? That's a phenomena in creation, all right? Now, what are you comparing it to? What are you relating it to? The Quran. We're relating it to the Quran. So you have the Quran, that's a phenomena, right? And yeah, I'm not getting into the argument of the created, uncreated word. I'm not into that. It is a phenomena, right? Do you see it? If you see it, it's a phenomena, right? But so you have the natural process, menstrual cycle, and it's related to the Quran. So now here you have your A and your B. You have two things, and now you have to relate them together and see what comes out. That's what this process, everything I'm doing right now is realizing that process. I'm inference making. I am reasoning from two features that seem to have something in common, the menses cycle and the Quran itself, and they are brought together by the term itself, the term that gives us the name in Lughat al-Arabiya for the woman cycle, and the term that gives us the word for the name of our revelation, the Quran. They're the same. And since they're the same, there must be some relationship between the two, right? So now you should ask yourself, well, who would deny even looking into that? Who would say, I don't go there? It's really something. A lot to say about that, but let's move on. Okay, so Qur'a. So you have qaf, not qaf like back here. When you talk about makhraj, ka is up here. Ka like catastrophe, ka, right? Qa, back of the throat, qur. So you have the qa-ra and then the hamza. Now there's debate. What I'm saying. We're just talking about in grammar, in the history of language, Arabic language. There are those who say Aleph is not a letter, but Hamza is. And those who say Hamza is a letter and not Aleph, right? Okay. That's been debated for thousands of years. But Qafra. Kaf ra a. So that a, you can take that a as hamza, or you can take it as aleph, right? Qur'a, that's it, right? So this qur'a and quru'u, you can take it, or rather, that is speaking to the very root of it for the menses cycle. Now, this cycle, and we're going to get to 228, inshallah, in a minute, inshallah. It has three meanings. The literal word itself, when you go to that dictionary, page 448, 449, Dictionary of Quran, it points out that Qur'an has three meanings simultaneously. That is, they mean the simultaneously, meaning the state before. All right? So it has the three meanings are all inside this word. The state before the cycle, just before you're moving into the cycle, right? Same word. When you're in the cycle, when the woman is on her cycle, same word applies to her when she's on her cycle. So when she's coming into the cycle, when she's on her cycle, and then in the period of time after the woman's cycle. That is a period of time immediately after the woman's cycle. Same word applies. So here you got three different states, before, during, and after, that's labeled by the one word for the woman's cycle. This is a sign and support to the fact that the same word, and specifically this special word, has many meanings and thus carries many ideas, just like the woman carries many egg cells. And the man carries many sperm cells. Now, a little bit different for the man in that respect. Every female is born with all of the eggs that she will ever produce in her life. She's born with those eggs present in her. Okay? Men have to grow up and reach that age where they can produce sperm cells. Or they can produce sperm cells. Little fun fact, let's say. All right. Brothers and sisters, facts. Words are containers for ideas. Words are containers for ideas. I want us to understand this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during, I don't know if it was 2011, I can't remember, one of the great opportunities that I value when Mali conferences happened. So during one of the presentations at Mali, I talked about the idea that words are containers, and also what happened when we lost the classical Arabic language en masse in the broad public of the Muslims. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah protected and created the Lughata Arabiya of the Quran. It's not a human language. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a human language. What do you mean it's not a human language? Number one, first thing you should understand is that it's not the language of the marketplace. It's not the language of the marketplace. And also the grammar that's given to Lughata Arabiya, the grammar that's given to the Quranic Arabic language was not given to it by man, man does create his own grammar. Man does create his own grammar. For these other languages, you have quote-unquote man-made languages to the extent that man has prescribed the grammar. But the grammar of Lughata Arabiya, the Quranic Arabic, it is prescribed by Allah. Allah ordered those words in that way. Allah set the pattern for those words. That's his words, right? And there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says that the superiority of Allah's words over man's words is like the superiority of Allah over his creation, right? So man's words don't even come close. But inshallah, if we have an opportunity, there's a couple of videos I want to show you to reinforce that point. But the point is that even before the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is one of the signs that Allah set up so as to affirm what he intended to do with this ayah, which is sometimes translated as miracle, right? the Arabs, they have their own language, and no other languages from the East or from the West, there were no borrowings into the language of Arabic from East or West. Maybe that has definitely something to do with the verse of the light, right? The verse of the light and the niche, the lamp and the niche. It's lit from a blessed olive, neither East nor West, right? So the Arabic language, in the nature of things, Allah kept it pure. The language is just there. No, it's not, no other influence, north, west, east, or south, right there, right? And when Allah revealed the Quran, it was the Quran that gave Arabic its grammar. Before that, it had no grammar. This is why sometimes it would be said in some writing you might even find that, I mean, currently, it's been around because I've read it many, many years ago. But the idea is to understand that it was said that the Arabs had no language. The Arab had no language, right? And when you understand the difference between human communication and animal communication and what makes one language and the other is not language, is the presence of a symbol system and grammar. The presence of a symbol system and grammar. Animals don't have a symbol system or grammar. Well, they do have a very simple symbol system, but it relates to immediacy. I mean, it's like, it's got to be right there. Whatever. Danger, hunger, sex. What have you, it's like, yeah, they have signals for all those. But when you start talking about time and time and distance and concepts, no, animals don't have that, right? And certainly there's no grammar. Okay, the point is, what makes human language is the symbol system and grammar. Okay, so in the Arabic, lugha al arabiya, you have the symbol system. Mm-hmm, wow. Listen. Do you understand, readers of Quran right now, do you understand that the dot system, that is one dot ba and noon, two dots ta and ya, you know, three dots fa and sha, you know what I'm saying? Those dots weren't existing at the time of the revelation of the Quran. Those dots were added to help others be able to read what was revealed, right? Not only that, the harakat that we read, the vowel markings, the fetah, kasra, dhamma, blah, blah, is like, that's added too. Those are training wheels. So the three dots were training wheels from those that way before us. And then the harakat, the vowel marking system, is more training wheels for people who are further away from the origins of the language, right? So the original Quranic Arabic had no dots and no vowel marks. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So the point is that Allah has preserved the original Arabic, and I say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, therefore, he created it particularly to be the vessel for his ideas. When we read the Quran, let's go to a china cabinet. No, whatever. All right, Luke, in your house, I'm thinking about my house right now. You think about your house right now. Okay, when you go to get the cups and the glasses for the water and for the coffee and for whatever, for the juices and what have you, okay, just look in there. Are some of them bigger than others? Some of them smaller than others? You got child size, you got adult size, then you got your dinner serving size, et cetera. You have that? Yeah, you got that, right? Okay. Now, look at the Quran the same way. The Quran has big words, small words. They are containers. They're big in the context of the meanings that they hold, et cetera. Some words are bigger than others and have much more meaning in it, blah, blah. Okay, that's fine. So now have another cabinet which represents another language. So the one cabinet I'm talking about is the Quran, and it has its sizes for its words to be the containers for its ideas. All right? Now, remember, we're talking about the cabinet of Quran, which is the vessel for God's ideas. Allahu Akbar. Just when you say that, God's ideas. Okay. So that's the first one that we're looking at. So the Quran, you have that cabinet, and the container is the container for God's ideas. That's the Quran, right? Okay, so now you go over to another cabinet, which is somebody else's language. Don't matter. Doesn't matter. French, English, German, whatever. Spanish, whatever. That's their cabinet. Okay, you got the German cabinet. You got the French cabinet. You got the English cabinet. Okay. Okay, I got this idea. I got this idea from the cabinet of God's ideas, the Quran. And I need to be able to tell this Frenchman over here what's in this container of God's ideas. Okay, Frenchman, bring what you got this close to this. Kind of, okay, so I'm going to try to pour this into, that word ain't big enough. Okay, bring me another one. Okay, I can get a little bit of it in that one. Bring me another one. Okay, oh, yeah, that's similar. It still ain't big enough. You get what I'm saying? So it's like there are ideas in the Quran that can't even be contained by words in other languages. There are ideas in the Quran that can't be contained by words in other languages. There are ideas in the Quran that can't be contained by words in other languages. This is why translations cannot work for the Quran. Allah's ideas are too big for the words of other languages. I should say, Assalamu alaikum right now, shouldn't I? But you know I ain't going to do that. Words are containers for ideas. Reading means extracting the ideas from the words. So if Allah has put ideas in his words, you're not reading the words just because you make the sound right. Just because you make the sound right, I'm not jealous. I'm not throwing shade. I'm giving you the math of the situation. Just because you make the sound right doesn't mean that you have read the word. Reading means extracting the ideas from the word. Until you get the idea out of the word, and especially again, as it's intended in that structure, until you pull that out, you haven't even read it. And alhamdulillah, I am so happy, so grateful, so thankful. I have been brought to tears by people in our association reading the Quran with the proper tartil and tajweed and makhraj, etc. I've been brought to tears by that. Alhamdulillah, by Allah, my heart loves it. And I know that I haven't been trained, and I know that my recitation does not follow the rules. It don't sound bad, but I don't recite from a knowledge of the methodology. But please don't get it twisted with that admission. Don't get it twisted. Don't think that Allah hasn't blessed your young brother. Yeah, I'm young. Yeah, live by the spirit, not by the calendar. To be able to extract meaning, extract ideas from the words of Allah in the Quran. Alhamdulillah. So much to be said about that, you know. So let me tell you what I'm thinking about. Babies, right? Babies hear us talking, but they can't explain what they're hearing, but they understand what they're hearing, even though they can't play it back to us, right? Tell your two-year-old, go in the kitchen and give me a cup. We have 2 years old who will go in the kitchen and we'll get you a cup, right? Now, ask that two-year-old, well, what did I say? Hell, I ain't going to tell you what you said. Don't you know? So that even though they can't say it, it don't mean they don't understand it. Let's move on. All right? Allah's words contain the highest ideas, and Allah's words are for the rehabilitation of the human being, right? Please forgive me for running briskly over this, because I do have to give you, we got about 15 minutes left in standard time. We may go a minute over, because I know I've done a lot of editorializing, but it hasn't been, how can you say, empty or useless. Or you would have left by now. Okay. The idea is that, we run briskly over this. Allah's words are for the rehabilitation of human beings, right? Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, of the rich tools that he brought to us, he said, words make people. He said, words make people. I mean, come on, simple sentence, powerful and true and scientific. Take away your vocabulary and what are you? Just take away every word that you know. You have no word. You don't have a word for word. You have nothing. What are you? You're nothing. You're nothing. You're nothing. Do you know anybody or any human being that has no words? No, not that they can't speak. But they have no words in that thing called a brain or a mind. There are no words there. No, you don't know anybody like that. There's no such thing. All right? Why? Because words make people. Right? So however many words you have, that's who you are. There's those who have words in their heads, but they can't express them. Okay, well, they still have words in their head. Let's move on. So in the Quran 237, that is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 37. Then learned Adam from his Lord words of inspiration, and his Lord turned to him, and he's oft-returning most merciful. Adam is a creation of words. Adam is a creation of words. You and I are a creation of words. All right? Allah, Surah Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran, Khalaq al-Insan. The gracious, he taught the Quran. It didn't even say and. It said, Khalaq al-Insan, Allamahu al-Bayan. So there's no distance between that teaching the Quran and creating man. Words make people. the Quranic words makes the Quranic man, and which is the natural human being, that is the Adam. So to get back to who we were created to be, we need to get that language that is aligned with our nature, right? And the Quran is the language that's aligned with our nature, okay? Beautiful saying, it's just a wonderful saying. I want to read it here as a descriptor of the Quran. So this author in the book, is a very small, powerful book. I'm talking literally, it's a small book. The Miraculous Language of the Holy Quran by Bassem Seh says, suppose you had a beautiful garden where you spend time every day smelling the flower here, discovering a new bud there, and picking fruits from the tree, from this tree or that. And suppose someone came and told you in the garden that you enjoy every day and where you regularly see untold objects of beauty, there were thousands of amazing secrets you have never laid eyes on, even though they were right under your nose. Further, suppose this person offered to give you glasses that would open your eyes to a scene entirely different from what you've been accustomed to seeing in the past, such that now under every rock in the garden you found a precious pearl, between every couple of rose leaves a delicate sheet of silver, beneath the bark of every tree a sap made of a sublime perfume, and between every couple of specks of dust, a particle of precious metal. Suppose you discovered that all this had been in your garden without your knowing a thing about it. So this is an analogy, huh? A parable, a description, a poetic description of the Quran. That is the Quran. Quran is a beautiful garden, and it has all these qualities that's talked about in every ayah, in every verse, in every word, in every particle. Great, great, great message, right? Continuing, learning how to read the Quran is learning how to discern the interweaving of the abstract and universal with the concrete and particular. How to move from low definition to high definition within the Quran and the sources of Al-Islam is learning to discover the creation-supported logic, which we've talked about, and also add the word scriptural-supported logic. But creation-supported logic, you do it with the creation. Scripture, you do it with scripture. When we say something is abstract, it means that in order to consciously and properly grasp the wisdom for guidance in it, we have to question it or think on it. Dabbara. Dabbara is the Arabic term for what we're speaking to right now. Tadabbara is reflect on it, right? It's also connected with the Hebrew word. It's actually a Hebrew name, Deborah. Deborah, you know, some say Deborah, but it relates to that. And what does that mean? And what does it mean in its root? It means a bee. Like a honeybee, dabbara, it's a bee. And what do? Bees go from flower to flower, and they abstract from the flower what's needed in order to make the honey. Okay, well, that's the same thing we do when we question, when we reflect on, when we think on it. That's tadabbara, which is what we're supposed to do with the Quran, with the intention of drawing out the details for action from it, right? It's like you're not just reading the Quran just to get some kind of feeling or to get intoxicated in some emotional kind of way. You're to be abstracting from the verses of the Quran, the words of the Quran, the healing and the medicine that's in it, and the power for construction. You know, look at the bee. The same material that it uses to build his house is the same material that he used to make the honey, right? And it's the same material that it also makes to make its own food, right? Okay. But once you translate this word, you give it only one meaning without awareness. And if you're dogmatic about it, you won't consider that there are, this should be T-H-E-R-E, you will consider that there are higher ideas engendered in the word by the way Allah used it in his revelation. Okay? If you depend on translation and you say, okay, well, just reading the translation without respect for what the Quran is actually saying, you should understand that what the person has done, and I mean, it's like you have to do it if you don't know the language. But the caution is, don't think that just because that translation said that is what that word means, that is all that word means. No. These are God's words. Quran is God's words, and no English word is able to contain the meanings that are in Allah's words. Okay, so, but if it's helpful to elite, like the dots and the harakat, right? If it's helpful to get close to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that's better than not having anything at all. But understand that when a word is given as a translation, then it's a confining of your mind to that meaning, which may in fact be deficient and also miss the mark for what your mind and your situation calls for. Imam Muhammad, rahimahullah, he had to tell us so many things, but especially one of the most powerful hits that he gave us with the with his reading of the Quran. It says, "Well, he says." وَبِتَغِي فِي مَا أَتَاغَ لَهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَى نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. It says, and seek with the means that Allah has made available to you life hereafter. But don't forget your share of this material world. Imam Muhammad was telling us at a time where there are others who were, quote-unquote, original readers of the sounds of the Arabic Quran. They say, la dunya, we don't want this, we don't want no dunya. This world. What the hell are you talking about? When God said, don't forget your share of the dunya, but the imam had to tell us that. The imam had to tell us that. Otherwise, we riding with it, la dunya. You're back in the, no offense, but you're back in the Trinitarian church and say, just take all this world and just give me Jesus. Come on now. It's like, so we're really subject to that. And the imam, quote unquote, rescued us from that by giving us the interpretation that fits our situation. That's critical to understand. Well, do you have the interpretation that fits your situation? Do you have the interpretation that fits your situation? Because if you don't have the interpretation that fits your situation, you're not there yet. Okay? So get that clear. All right, but once you translate this word, you give it one meaning without the awareness that if you're dogmatic about it, you won't consider that there are higher ideas engendered in the word by the way Allah used it in his revelation. Do you understand the Quran is Allah's word? Allah spoke the sentence. God said it. It don't need any edit. I don't know, I'm getting poetic today. God said it. It needs no edit. Allahu Akbar. Put that on a bumper sticker. All right. Now, going on. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi, let's get to this womb, and inshallah, I will say, we're gonna go over maybe about 10 minutes in the top of the hour, inshallah. Aloha, Adam. We'll see. Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, three things will be under the throne on the day of resurrection: the Quran, which will contend with men, having an exoteric meaning, that an obvious and open, a plain meaning, and an esoteric meaning, a meaning that is more abstract, a meaning that is more difficult to grasp, a meaning that is not plain, but it's there, right? So here's the Prophet is telling you that the Quran has the exoteric and the esoteric, and of course you have the Surah 3, Ayah 7, that talks about the muhkamat and mutashabih. So it's no secret that the Quran has multiple layers of meaning, all right? Anybody that doesn't want you to read deeper, and then Arasikhun, those people that are spoken of in the Quran, and I believe it's in that verse, 3:7, it actually means those who dive deep, the deep divers, right? Having an esoteric means the trust, that's the second, and then the womb. So that right there should tell us that the womb is a big deal. The womb is a big deal. You got three on the day of resurrection. One is the Quran. The other is what is the trust? The trust is the free will, the human free will. No matter what philosophers or whoever say, you have no free will, whatever. We believe we do, right? The free will and then the womb. That's three. The womb must be a big, big deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And man, all you have to do is ask yourself, do you have one? If you don't have one, then in some way you are diminished by comparison in a certain way. It is what it is, all right? So the womb, which will say, Allah, join those who joined me and sever those who severed me. And again, when I said multiple interpretations, multiple translations, multiple meanings possible, et cetera, I'm conscious of that even as I say this. But I've decided in this conversation and this presentation that we're focusing on the woman, right? The woman. And look at that. Woman. Woman. Right? If you take the A-N, you take the A-N as a suffix, as a suffix that means one of, right? I'm an American. I'm an Englishman. I'm a Russian, whatever. You have the A-N. So the A-N, you can lop that off in terms of that. So woman is what? Womb. And the man gave us an early language. Man is mine. Woman is womb of mine, right? So the womb is absolutely positively important. And here, when we talked about the having the information, where the classical Arabic, in the classical Arabic, I'm talking about now, the original Arabic, that protected Arabic, that quote-unquote created Arabic, in that language, shuraihun or and or mashrahun is the proper name for the female genitalia. The proper name for the female genitalia. And that's particularly, this is why it takes us, particularly scriptural reasoning, right? It takes us and signals us the sign in the verse that we're working with on the Jummah at this point, Surat al-Insharah, chapter 94. But now, going to the tools, one of the critical tools from the Imam that he gave us, he says, remember, he said, whenever there's a silent letter, there's a secret in the word. If there's a silent letter, there's a secret in the word, right? Womb. Nobody says womb, womb. Who says that? Nobody says that. Womb, womb. If I spell T-O-M-B, what do I spell? Tomb. Still got a B, right? So the point is that womb, so the very fact that there is a silent letter in this word womb, there's a secret in the womb. And the very fact that the hadith also says that there be three at the throne and one of those three is the womb, that tells us that the womb is real important. There's a secret in it. But how do you get to the secret? By the grace of Allah, by the permission of Allah, by knowing that you should dabbara, that you should think and question and reason. And then that's digging into it. That's digging into it. Question is a quest, right? So let's see what we can do in 10 minutes. I just want to get you started, okay? So let's read this verse, 2:22. I'm reading a translation. And, you know, digging into that because words are social constructs also. The language in common language, they're social constructs. And so you have different words in different languages that are speaking to the same real things, right? Some speak, of course, in more depth and more truth and more reality. I'm speaking of the Quran than others, right? But if I say agua, if I say water, if I say, I don't even know, what is another word for? Oh, ma, Arabic, ma is water. Water is a reality, right? So whether I call it, you know, agua or water or ma, we're still talking about a reality. So let's move on. So Quran says, they ask thee concerning women's courses. They ask thee concerning women's courses. Say, they are, I'm reading just the quote-unquote translation, say, they are a hurt and a pollution. So keep away from them in their courses. And do not approach them until they are clean, right? Now, mistake is made when you take all that to say, you know, women are unclean when they're on their menses, right? Well, you need to read the Arabic, get a better reading of it, so you know what's the subject, what's the object, you know, where the verbs, where the nouns, where the prepositions, etc. All right, so let's just look at just the words themselves, surface to the extent that we need to get it today. All right, so when it says they ask it concerning women's courses. When it says they, it's incorrect. The incorrect translation of the word is huwa, referring to the menses, not hunna, third person feminine, plural, right? So the they, what's mentioned in the Quran is huwa, right? Not hunna. Hunna, then it would be talking about the woman. So it said they, so it's actually talking about the menses that is whatever is described that follows, a hurt and a pollution, right? And the term that's used for that condition is a word that transliteration, I don't have the Arabic script in my English word, whatever, English word app. Not expert at using it. I do believe you can pull it down. But let's move on. Because I don't want you to think, you could think Adhan, but that's not what it's talking about, Adhan. But the term itself that's used for that pollution, it translates into annoyance, ailment. So since that thing is identified as hurt and pollution is annoyance and ailment, you get closer to the meaning when you call it, it's an annoying ailment. It's an annoying ailment. Ask a woman who has had a cycle, would it be wrong to identify the cycle as an annoying ailment? I believe so. I refer you back to Brain Sex. I refer this to everybody. If you just get that book, Brain Sex, by Anne Moir, M-O-I-R, and David Jessel, J-E-S-S-E-L, and if you read nothing but the section on the woman's cycle, my brother, you would have so much more sympathy and empathy for women that come from understanding the whiplash of emotions that they actually go through when the cycle comes and goes. It's really, really something. It is an annoying ailment, right? So then it says, so keep away from women in their courses and do not approach them until they are clean, all right? So the tendency to label the woman as whatever, some kind of some really, really bad thing or in some bad way. It's really bad. Don't do that. Which, you know, say, you know, yes. If you've had a wife and a woman who is on a cycle, yeah, there is that, you know, there is that quality. I mean, that's there, right? But let me tell you again, why Allah designed it that way. Allah designed it that way is because the egg hasn't been fertilized, so that egg has to get out, right? If a sperm were to go into the vaginal cavity and fertilize an egg while the woman is on her menses, then there's going to be very serious complications among other things. Doesn't mean that all birth defects have to do with this, but among other things, a fertilized egg at the wrong time for conception, the process gets broken and the product therefore gets defects. And so Allah has instructed the woman, given her chemistry at that time, that changes her mind and her attitude, et cetera, such that get back, don't even come, don't even think about it, right? Well, and that's it. So God tells the man also, don't you do it. Don't go there. because for those reasons, but not because the woman is evil or hurtful or what have you. It's just because in the nature of the operation, it's not the right time. All right. I won't go further than that. I wanna move on and just for a few minutes, so I won't really overstay our time much this morning. So what's happening in a cycle? In a woman's cycle, so you have the ovaries and then you have the fallopian tubes, right? And so the egg, when it's time for ovulation, whatever, the egg goes into the fallopian tube, right? And so then that begins to introduce a period where the woman is in estrus, right? She comes into a state. Don't hold me to college level biology in this conversation. You look it up and read it through for if you want real technical dictionary based definition. Go ahead and get that. But what I'm telling you is true. So in terms of the egg, it enters the fallopian tube. And so now she's in estrus. And so there is an invitation. She has a very inviting spirit, very inviting. You have hormones and you have pheromones or what have you. All those things start working to bring about this attraction because now is the time. I'm ovulating. And so here's the egg. And so now come on in. And then when the sperm enters into the vaginal cavity, and then it reaches the egg, then the egg gets fertilized, and what happens is the egg, now fertilized, will come down and attach itself to the uterine wall, and it begins to get covered up by a blanket of blood, and then it starts to, then as it grows, then of course the body swells, et cetera, with that, and there's no cycle because the role of the cycle is mainly to get that unfertilized egg out of the tube, get that fertilized egg out of the canal, and that's what it's about, right? It does other things, you know, but the main thing is to get that egg out, right? All right, and once that's over, then the cycle starts over again. Right now, so now when you look at when it says women on their courses, now let's go scriptural and creation supported social logic, right? Well, what is woman? Woman is society, right? And a woman on her cycle is a society that rejects revelation. Now, where does that come from? Now, here's the picture. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is analogy, right? One thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is called the Ummi Prophet. Do you hear the feminine in that? The Ummi Prophet, right? And so let the Prophet, let the Prophet be the egg in the cave. The Prophet is the egg in the cave. And let the angel Jibril be the sperm that meets the egg and fertilizes it, right? And then the prophet, having received the revelation in the cave, he came down from the cave, and the next revelation after the 96, 1 through 5 that you see, we'll read in just a second, the 96, 1 through 5, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. That's critical right there. من علق. He created you from blood adhering, right? اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. All right, abstract and concrete. So the picture is the prophet's in the cave. The revelation comes to the prophet. He gets the revelation. He comes down out of the cave, and he tells Khadija in Surah 74, Ayah 1, reveals that connection, scripture supported logic, right? Where it says, where the egg and the fertilized egg, now a zygote, if you will, attaches to the uterine wall. Alaq is attachment, right? And it's an attachment of blood, and a sheath of blood covers up that fertilized egg. And so the next revelation, 74, one, different chronologies, but this is what one of those chronologies that has 74, verse 1, Ya ayyul mudathir, O you who are wrapped on, arise and warn. Isn't that what happens when the woman gets pregnant? When the woman gets pregnant, you get warnings that she's pregnant, whether it be morning sickness or whatever the case may be. The idea is something is coming. Okay, well, that's what happened with the prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he came out of the cave, he told his wife to wrap him up. Yeah, he didn't know what was going on, but then Allah says, oh, you wrapped on, arise and warn. So it is with the pregnancy. The pregnancy is an arising and a warning that something is coming, right? So the alaq is attachment. That's an ikra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. That's an attachment, right? And then the order of the revelation tells us this. Here's another thing. What is the quote-unquote normal human body temperature? The normal human body temperature. Normal human body temperature is 98.5. Okay, so what is that? If you can go look at the verse. I don't know what Surah 98, verse 5 is. I could walk through it. I believe it's, I don't need to. So it's the criteria. لم يكن الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب والمشركين منفكين حتى تتيهم البينة. So I'm sure we go further than that. You can get a lot more out of it. But that's not the focus right now. The focus is the reproductive process. Reproductive process. The scrotum of the human being, which is the corollary from the ovary here is like the scrotum in the male. That's functionally speaking, the eggs of the female come from the ovary, the sperm of the male comes from the seminal vesicle, comes from the scrotum, right? And the scrotum is the place where it's coming from. Now the scrotum in the biology of the male is always, or normally, let's put it like this, normally 2 degrees cooler than the rest of the body. Biology. 2 degrees cooler. Okay, so if it's 2 degrees cooler than the normal human body temperature, so 98.5, and then minus 2 degrees, you got 96.5. So that's the first 5 verses of the 96 surah, right there, and that is the alaq. So now, when the cycle, okay, so the fertilized egg and the wrapped on and the pregnancy, etc., means that fertilization has taken place, and now the woman is fertile. All right? But if no fertilization takes place, then she goes on to her cycle, and it becomes a hurt and a pollution. If that's a symbol of the prophet receiving revelation in the cave and beginning to arise and warn, then the absence of that connection and pregnancy and inception and conception, then the absence of it means a society that has not embraced revelation. And that's the society you should stay away from until they are clean. Don't buy into this society. Don't buy into this culture. Don't buy into their perception. Don't buy into their value system, etc., until it's clean, because they are a hurt and a pollution. Would you not agree that this society in its worst elements is a hurt and a pollution? Those are the things that you should stay away from, right? And so when we talk about the alaq, this term for the woman's cycle is called a period. That's going to go a little bit further. I'll say this much, mashallah. Period. It's called a period. Why? Why is the woman's cycle called a period? Well, because it's a period of time. Okay, you can stop there if you want to. But period, the imam, the second tool, I tell you there's going to be 2 tools. One tool is wherever there's a silent letter, there's a secret. The second is, for today, for every homonym, there's a synonym. For every homonym, there's a synonym. This is from the imam. So meaning that if something sounds alike, then there might be some meaning in common in there but you don't get it on the normal plane of reading, but it's you have to go to that next level. You have to go that deep dive. You have to do the dabara, right? And so, okay, so you got period. You got period and you got the woman's cycle. Period and the woman's cycle, right? Period, a lot of things. Let's stick with this, keep you close to the fact that we're relating this to the revelation of the Quran with the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say you were born from an alaq, right? Created man from an alaq, right? Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says the relationship between myself and all the previous prophets are like a man who built a building. And the people go around the building saying how beautiful and how perfect it is or would be, but for the absence of that one brick. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, says, I am that brick. I am that brick. What does that mean? It means that all the words of Allah, all the revelations, all the Quran, and all the readings that came before the Prophet, it was not until the Prophet brought the Quran that the whole sentence for the words of God lined up were punctuated. It's the Quran that punctuates revelation properly. And you don't know how to read the words until you get the proper punctuation. And the punctuation for all revelation is the Quran. And so now we can turn around and read the previous revelation because we have the punctuation of the Quran, and now we know what things in the Old Testament mean and New Testament mean and et cetera, and previous and other scriptures. We know what they mean, and we know how to, by the grace of Allah, by the permission of Allah, how to, and by the inheritance from the inheritor, we are able to take and cast a light on that, a new lens on that previous scripture, based on the punctuation of the Quran. That period, the Prophet brought the period. Is that period? That's the end of the sentence, right? What? The Quran. Now, and so the alaq is blood, right? So can we not see the period as like a drop of blood? If you see a drop of blood, let it stay there for a while. See if it don't go from red to black, right? That's a period. That's a period. It's a punctuation, right? Let me see if we can go one more step. Now you can read the sentence, right? But wherever there's a homonym, there's a synonym. So if I say R-E-A-D, and you just see it on a page, and I put those four letters on there, and I say, what is that? Some people are going to say read, and some people are going to say read, right? Because the same word, R-E-A-D, can be read both ways, can be read both ways, right? So the period is like a drop of blood, right? And when we talk of a period, is also a dot at the end of a sentence, right? So you can make a period out of red ink, right? That which was red, now it's black, right? The point to be made is red ink. A drop of blood is like red ink. A drop of blood is like red ink. It's true fact. We've always been told that Moses crossed the Red Sea. It was divided in half, and Moses crossed the Red Sea. In the original, the Hebrew of that scripture, because when you read the English Bible, you're reading the translation, so you're not reading the original words of it. But in the Hebrew language of Moses crossing the Red Sea is not the Red Sea. It was the Reed Sea, like reeds along the side of the water. The Reed Sea, right? Reed Sea, Red Sea, red ink, read ink. If you read the ink, then it becomes what? Red ink. If you read the ink, like just these pages that you're looking at, you're reading it, right? When you finish reading it, what does it become? Red. I read that. How'd you read it? By reading it. So when you read it, it becomes red ink. So, Ar-Rahman, Allama al-Quran, Khalaq al-Insan. So when you read what Allah has revealed, it becomes red ink. It becomes an alaqa in you. You become attached to it, and you begin to grow by virtue of the red ink, right? But we'd have to go all the way back to the beginning. Know the difference that you have not read it until you have abstracted the ideas from the words. So you want to make the Quran red ink. If you know how to make the Quran red ink, then you can be born again. All right, well, that's what we're going to say today, alhamdulillah. I'm just going to tick through the greetings from my brothers and sisters that join us online, and we pray Allah has been of some benefit. There are other things, always other things that we like to say, but we're not going to do it today. So let's move this out. As I say, assalamu alaikum to you all. That's going to be the end of our day today. Those ACU Institute members, we will have a private session tomorrow. And on the solar side, happy solar new year. Be safe. In those towns, if you got them towns where folks like to shoot guns in the air, please understand, them bullets come down. They do come down. So if you're living in a hood that like to do that, stay inside, because it's just like, it's no different between getting shot horizontally or getting shot vertically. So be sure of that, okay? Alhamdulillah, thank you all for your greetings and your love. And alhamdulillah, let's make dua for each other, and let's make 24 and 24. Let's do some more better than we have in 23, inshallah. We got a lot to do, long way to go. And for some of us, short time to get there. We don't know exactly what our time is, but I kind of subscribe to the idea of the fourth quarter. It's definitely, if you're in the 70s, I think you can say you're in the fourth quarter. Alhamdulillah, shukran kabir, alhamdulillah, may Allah kabir. Actually, I had that state with a shukran, the cup running over. I actually had a very strong thought about that just yesterday, you know, the Psalms, and Allah just gives so much, alhamdulillah. So let us be grateful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if you're grateful, I'll give you more. All right, gotta go. Love you all. May Allah continue to bless us and guide us, and be a blessing to others, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.